On this episode of the Real Life Caddy Podcast, I'm joined by fellow lifer caddies Mike Szabo and Brandon Balestri. Now, before we talk about any golf content, Brandon, aka Man Bun, has a very important announcement for all of us. We start off by discussing all of the major talking points from the professional game, including McPhil's recent fall from grace, Tiger Woods getting some much-needed cash, and Bryson DeChambeau making amazingly difficult decisions. We then go on to talk about a bunch of caddy stories from our own lives before ending the episode with listener interactions, and I discuss a very interesting phone call I had earlier in the week. We also hand out a Bell End of the Week award. If you have any questions or comments, please email us podcast@glorifieddonkey.com, and also feel free to rate, review and share the podcast too. We appreciate your support and I hope you enjoy this episode. Episode 86 of the Real Life Caddy Podcast. It's called Goodbye, My Friend. And
are we saying goodbye to somebody dearly departed?
Well, yes. Okay. I think we are. There's a singer in the UK called James Blunt. Okay. And he sang a song that says, "Goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend." And there's three men.
There are three men here. What are we missing?
Szabo, you're here.
I am here. Good to be here.
Man Bun, Brandon Balestri, he's here.
What? No, Man Bun is not
we
here.
Man Bun.
Wee Man Bun's
he
in the house.
He is not Man Bun.
There's a lot of things happening.
Just wee Brandon.
There's a lot of things happening in the world of golf. There's a lot of things happening in the caddy world. There is. But there's only one top story.
This takes the cake here. What happened, Brandon?
What happened, Brandon?
I cut my hair.
Why? Why?
The nipple length mid chest, long flowing blonde brown.
It's gone.
Amber locks are now gone. I have the haircut that I had years ago. Just the old, you know.
Wow.
Give me the Republican.
Love it.
You
love
look
it.
Good, Brandon.
You do.
You look good. I like
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, guys.
I like it.
You look Ivy Leaguer.
He is. He's a good looking man. And yeah. I love him. You look better with short hair.
You could have a checkered shirt. Some loafers.
You could do a lot with that, Brandon.
Start playing cricket. Love it. I love the look. And can I, you had a little beard going the last time as well.
Yeah, and then I shaved my beard. I just decided to I don't know.
Clean cut.
Yeah, cut my hair. Then I shaved my whole face. You know, just for old time's sake.
Beautiful.
It looks good.
So talk us through it. What was the final...
Yeah, what precipitated the cut?
Well, I mean, I thought about it enough times, and then I finally just held myself to it.
Just went, and was there a particular day?
Yeah, it was last Wednesday.
And you just woke up on Wednesday morning, had you already
decided?
No, I had
an appointment. I had an appointment for like 2 weeks. And
for
I said,
2 weeks? So this you really thought so this out?
Yeah.
You wanted the
I almost cut my hair short the last time I got my hair cut, and Pete's like, maybe come back in a couple weeks when you're sure that you want to do it short, and I'll make some more time, and we'll make sure it gets done right.
Wow, it's like Botox or something, you know?
Yeah,
getting a tattoo. You think about it twice.
Yeah, just me. That's. I mean, well, the hairdresser knows. It's like you've been with that hair for a long time. Let's
surprised
think about this before we pull the trigger. And you thought about it, and then still pulled the trigger.
Yeah. Definitely some remorse, though.
I was gonna say, what was the feeling like as soon as it was gone? You walk back to your car. What was the feeling?
I thought, shit, what the beep did I just do?
Were you really missing that hair?
I was like, damn, you know, if the song is true, you don't realize what you got till it's gone. And when you got beautiful hair halfway down your chest and a man bun that everybody loves looking at.
So this means you're planning on bringing it back?
No.
I'm probably not going to get another haircut for the rest of my life.
Oh, for the rest of your life?
Behave yourself.
Well, at least, I don't know. I'm probably going to definitely...
You're growing it back.
No,
it's growing back. I mean, who knows? I might change my mind, but I don't. I definitely want to have long hair again.
I think you look great with it.
I think you look great too.
The guy who cut it, or was it a woman? Was it your seamstress?
His name's Pete.
Pete. So Pete, did he just start with a ponytail and just?
Yep, I actually have the ponytail in a bag in my car that I'm going to send back to my parents.
Of course you do.
Because
they're going to add it to the baby book? They're like, hey, Mom,
no, no, because there's a Wakes for Kids down the street.
Oh, there you go.
Well, nice.
That was part of the reason, because I kept saying I was going to donate my hair, and I'm going to donate my hair. And then I was like, damn, I think I've told enough people that I think I got to cut my hair now.
Yeah. I was rather offended that I wasn't invited to the event.
Yeah, I would have liked to have been there, too.
I should have brought it in tonight with the podcast.
You should have brought it in.
I have literally a ponytail in a Ziploc bag in my car.
I've seen the photo.
You know, it's kind of creepy. Gordon kind of touched on it, too. You brought up about the seamstress. You brought up a good point. What do you do now with the hat? What happens to the hat?
The hat is going to be auctioned off. no, it's I'm going to give it to Casey.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
I'm going to give it to Casey. Casey's another
till we can start working on him to get a cut his man bun off.
You know, he's within the next 9 months, he's probably going to get all the requests that I was going to get for the caddy with the man bun hat.
You would figure.
Next
what
question.
What was his name? Oh, yeah, no, the guy with the man bun hat. They're like, nah, that's not the same caddy.
My next question is, does the nickname stick then?
Man bun?
Yeah. Will you just still be known as Man Bun?
I mean, I don't have a man bun anymore.
It's true. I've known him for 20 years. I know, there's a lot of nicknames for this man. Little B Squared, Brandon Balestra, B Squared.
That are inappropriate for the show.
Baby Nuts.
Wee Pal.
Yeah.
Wee Brandon. Wee Pal.
Yeah.
There's a lot. My pit, right, so names, we're always talking about names. I get called the wrong name last week. Then I started telling the boys, there's a guy that works the beer cart. And his name is, I don't know if his name is Andy or Brian. I've got it so mixed up.
Andy. I know who
he is. So his name's Andy. Yeah, yeah. So for 17 years, I called him Brian. And then the wee guy along the road at 7-Eleven, where I always go, I've been calling him Johnny. I thought his name was Juan. And he says, why are you calling me Johnny? I says, well, it's your name. And he goes, no, because he started calling me Jack.
Johnny and Jack.
I said, I don't care. Call me whatever you want.
Yeah.
Turns out his name's Roberto. So,
and it turns out your name is not Jack.
But how about this? When I was about 16 or 17, we're back home, Friday night, bit of a wee ravey disco party kind of thing. All the young team were on drinking cider, cans of beer. And I might have been 17 because there was a young lassie who frequented the disco. She was the younger sister of someone I went to school. She was in my class. And she was wearing white pants, white trousers.
Back when white trousers were in, yeah.
She had, you know, she had slim hips. Yeah. She passed
She could work them, yeah.
She could work them. Well, not this night.
I like it.
She drank so much, she shat herself.
Oh, yeah, not a good night to wear the white pants.
But didn't realize. So for the rest of her school time, and right now, you would, if I said to my mate, oh, remember such and such, he'd say, oh, yeah, Lisa Shitty Pants.
So yeah, that kind of sticks with you.
Nickname stick. So it's, man bun.
That's true. That's a good point.
I'm going to find it hard not to call you man bun.
I'm not. For now, as long as your hair looks like that, he's Brandon.
You can call me whatever you want. Just
you don't get offended, do you?
No. Cool. No, I rarely take things personally.
Excellent. Well, that's the big talking point from the world of golf, let's be honest. Pro golf, we're going to change it up. We're going to start off with the big stories. We won't linger too much on it, but probably the McPhil.
Crazy. It's gone even further south since the last time we talked. You know, he's lost. He offered that to all his sponsors. Yo, yeah, go ahead. Drop me if you want. You know, I'll still support you even if you drop me. And pretty much all of them dropped him, including Callaway, which was like, wow, Callaway's dropping. Yeah, that's crazy.
Have they dropped him or... Are they on pause?
They said they were on pause. They're good on point. Pause. Yeah, yeah. You can pause, yeah.
The one I'm shocked about is KPMG.
Why does that shock you?
Well, because nobody knew who KPMG were in the world till Mickelson.
Don't really know what they do.
I think they're the largest accounting firm in the world.
Are they really?
KPMG,
oh,
they're accountants. But you know,
Phil put you on the map.
He did. I would say so, because I would have never known who KPMG were.
Yeah.
Just four letters and a hat.
Yeah.
So he doesn't, I think it's having, you know, for a short period been inside the ropes. Not many professional golfers or people in the industry like him.
He's not super loved out there.
He was always a crowd favourite. People love him on the telly. They love Lefty. They love the way he can move the ball. But he's not very arrogant.
Very arrogant. Well, yeah. His nickname on tour is what everybody knows. Fig Jam. You know what that stands for? Fig Jam. That's what Phil's known as, Fig Jams.
Let us know, Michael.
Fuck, I'm good. Just ask me.
There you go.
Well, this is a guy who won a tour event when he was still amateur.
Fig Jam.
But yeah, he's finally...
Ask him about it.
He's finally eating a lot of humble pie, I'd imagine, because he hasn't only just lost all of his sponsors, respect of so many people in the game, which I don't think he cares about that.
I hope he is eating humble pie, but that apology he put forth, that was no apology. That was no apology to the fans. It was no apology to the tour. It was an apology to the Saudis. Mm-hmm. So hopefully now, after all this, he is eating humble pie. What came out today, because the player impact program and the payouts came out today, and Phil claimed that he won it a few months back. He's like, oh yeah, I won it. I'm going to have to play in a few more events. And then it came out today, Tiger Woods won it. And Tiger probably had the best tweet I've ever seen in my life. It was one word with, you know, the emoji with the guy person throwing up their hands, and it said, whoops, and it posted what Phil said a few months back.
Well, the thing that McPhil actually said, this was, it was probably December, wasn't it? I believe it's the PIMP.
Yeah, PIMP, Player Impact Mother Program.
McPhil said, I'd like to thank all the crazies, brackets, and real supporters too, for helping me win the PIMP. To get the second half of the money, I have to add an event I haven't played in a while. See you in Kapalua. P.S. I'll try and find another hot controversial topic soon. And then Tiger Woods wins it.
He found one.
You know, I've heard that Tiger's been struggling ever since the car crash. He's been struggling money wise. So that $8 million for playing one tournament last year is going to help.
Yeah,
I think he's going to put that $8 million to good use. I didn't see him really come out and say I was going to donate it to somewhere or anything, but yeah, I'm sure.
Is that a good use of money?
I mean, it's honestly, Phil was a big driver behind this. It's doing what Phil intended for it to do. Phil's whole stick on this whole thing is he wants these PGA Tour players, including himself, but he wants all these superstars to be paid like superstars in the NFL and, you know, European football. He wants these guys making 16, 18, 30, 40, 50, $80 million a year. Mm-hmm. And this is part of that. This is the rich getting richer. But it's what Phil thinks should happen. Mm-hmm. The best in the game should be getting the best money.
Mm-hmm. Greg Norman, he came out all guns blazing as well. He's not happy with the PGA Tour.
Did you read what he wrote to Jay Monahan?
I did.
Yeah, that was abysmal, and obviously Monahan's not going to respond to that. No way.
Well, I do think I think he's got a point.
Oh, for sure. But Monahan's too smart. He's not going to respond to that. He doesn't need to.
What do you think, Randon?
I haven't seen any of it. I watched the State of the Union this morning. You want to talk about that?
Oh, talk about car crashes. No, we don't
talk about that.
Well, so, like, I'm not going to judge anyone for wanting getting paid more money, but so, to me, there's just a bunch of hypocrisy. You know, you got Monahan, the PGA Tour, all talking about their game. On, we've got to protect the game. They're trying to feather their own nest to protect themselves financially. And then you got the golfers who want to feather their own nest. And then you get the Saudis who, you know, want to throw money at things to change the perception of who they are. And, I think they're all.
But I think it's telling. They are selfish, but it's telling for the immediate future that all the top 10 players in the world, all of them, came out and said, we pledge our fealty to the PGA Tour. We're going to play on the PGA Tour where the best players play. We don't want to play anywhere else. We want to be where the competition is.
That's funny. It's funny you say that because there hasn't been one tournament this year where any of them turned up and it was...
All together, yeah, I hear
you. You know, we're now into March.
No, it's again. Early in the... I mean, real tour season, it's started, but it really... It's kicking off after, you know, Masters, and then after the Masters, Players coming up. I mean, it's about to get where these guys are going to play, except unless you're Bryson DeChambeau.
Well, I think your issue is that you have, you know, how many weeks a year should these guys?
There's no question. It's too many. It's way too many.
But normal people work 40 weeks a year.
Yeah.
To 50 weeks a year, working hard jobs. Not that playing golf professionally is not a hard job, because I think it's a real grind.
It is.
But if you're going to commit to 30 tournaments a year, so you're off the other half of the year, basically. You're now, as I say, into March. We haven't had one decent field. And you've had some big tournaments.
Yeah. So I mean, relatively speaking, yeah. I mean, you're going to... The majors are around the corner. Everybody will be at the Players. I mean, you got big tournaments coming up. A lot of people will be at Bay Hill this week. So there's a lot of big tournaments.
Do you think the Saudi Golf League's over? Because I've heard a lot of people say, it's dead.
It's going to take a lot to resurrect it, I think. I mean...
Maybe a little more money. But I will rear its head again. I said it before, when Manchester City and the Premier League were bought over, they started off with one kind of flagship player, a lot of mediocrity, and every year, an extra player, now they're the best team, probably, arguably, that's ever played the game.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen with the Saudi Golf League.
I think it's going to take one player. There's going to be one guy who'll make the jump. $5 million just to turn up for a tournament.
But it depends who the player is. If Bryson DeChambeau makes the jump, I don't think it's going to have that much of an impact. Yeah. Patrick Reed makes the jump, nobody's going to care.
Yeah. Somebody's going to do it and it's going to open the gates for another person and another person. And then
we'll see. I think there's a good chance Phil's going to do it.
Yeah. Well, that's what they'll start off with. They're going to start off with guy has-beens and guys like Phil and what have you. And probably people coming through the ranks.
Lee Westwood will be there.
The average world ranking of players who have won this year, you know what it is?
Well, there's been a lot of new winners this year.
15?
81st.
Yeah, I would have said 50s, but yeah, wow, 81st.
Did you watch it at the weekend?
This past week? I did not.
Daniel Berger went in with a 6.
Oh, yeah. Lead. I saw the highlights of that, or lack thereof.
And solid. I was, I think, 5 or 6, and I tried to text my brother to Liam on like Betfair to sell him, become the bookie, because I'm like, and he just capitulated.
Dude, did you see the stat? He missed the longest putt he made all day was 19 inches. Anything outside 19 inches, he missed.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I did watch a little bit at the weekend. The Honda Classic, you have a lot of corporate stands on number 17 and number 18.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't believe, again, the amount of noise coming from these corporate stands where people are just turning up on the piss.
Yeah, we talked about this.
So much noise. It's almost, the golf is starting to, I think it really needs to try and, the whole thing at the Waste Management, for example, was the Harry Higgs and, what's his name?
Joel Dahman.
Did you see this? They took their tops off.
Did they end up getting fined?
I think they did get fined because the PGA Tour then say, we're going to pull you up about this. You're going to get fined. You're going to get punished. But then they blew it all up. All you see on the PGA Tour social media.
Oh, yeah. They posted these guys.
Happy Gilmore all over again.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's like Happy Gilmore's a movie. This is like real life. And then you get, I don't know, there's guys pulling off shots last weekend just because of the noise coming from a bunch of drunks, which, you know, I don't know, time and a place.
Yeah, it's just become what spectating on the PGA Tour has become in a lot of these events. They just go there to get tanked and not really watch golf. They're there to get drunk and be rowdy.
People are there to check out hot chicks in short skirts and play on their phones and video record things and, you know, get hammered and buy a new visor and look cool and be like, what up, bro? We're at the tournament this weekend. What's up?
You hit it on the head. That's absolutely true.
What were those shorts you talked about wearing at the concert? The cookie cutters or something?
Oh, the coochie cutters.
Coochie cutters.
The Bobby shorts. I have Bob Weir shorts. Bob Weir from the Grateful Dead. He used to wear these cutoff shorts with a little Steely Deadhead patch in one of the left corners. And
Well, can you wear that with now the man bun's gone?
Yeah, what's your concert experience going to be like now that your hair's
I don't know. I think I'm going to take a break for a while till my hair is long again.
Seriously, you can't even show your face in the concert scene without the
hair? People are going to be like, oh my God, what happened?
Did you get a real job or something?
Mm-hmm. That's what everybody said. Did you get an office job?
I think it looks good, Brandon.
Here's one for you. Maybe a golfer is going to say, I joined the Saudi Golf League because there's no drinking in Saudi Arabia. I was getting tired of all the booze and the fans.
Oh, there's no drinking like the fans.
I don't think so. I don't think Saudi Arabia allows booze. One last thing. This shows you the kind of world these boys live in. DeChambeau, your boy Bryson DeChambeau, who I don't really care either way, but he did post a video and it said,
yeah, didn't feel
one of
good.
The hardest decisions of my life. Hard. And I thought, what's happened? So I watched the 1 2-minute video and basically he was withdrawing this week from the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill.
Toughest and decision of his
one
life.
One of the toughest decisions of his life. I was absolutely mortified for him too.
He's at 90%.
Yeah, he's got a hand injury.
Tiger was playing at like 40% a couple years ago when he won. I mean, at Torrey Pines in that playoff in 2008.
Well, he's got a reputation to uphold.
Tiger only ever felt his knees when he hit a bad shot.
Oh, I know.
All the good shots. Like, yeah. But I know what you mean.
I think some of that is true. But yeah. But I think he was in pain too. But yeah, I hear you. Some of those are like, oh, after he shanked one, he's like, oh, yeah, my back.
But what world is this guy living in?
He's not living in our world.
It's our world and it's his world and we're just living it.
We're just visitors. But it's one of the toughest decisions of my life.
He has, I mean, I feel kind of bad for him. He really has no life outside of golf. None. Mm. No personal life.
You don't feel sorry for him at all.
I do. Stop lying. I do feel sorry for him because he really doesn't. He has no life outside of golf.
I mean, I work all the time.
That's true.
He doesn't even know what's going on.
Good point. That is a good point.
There was one lad. There was another thing that was going bananas.
I caddy as much as Bryson practices golf.
That's a good point. Damn it, Brandon. Stop bringing up good points.
There's a layman golf guy. Maybe Stroud is his name or somebody. He's at the weekend. He went viral because he can't pull the trigger. He gets over the ball and takes a minute.
Yeah, Kevin Na had that problem for a while. Just couldn't pull the trigger.
But you know, this boy's over the ball. He has, I think, 39 head movements. Yeah, really, really bad. I was. If you check it out, I think his name was Stroud. I didn't look that closely. Anyway, that wraps things up on the world of golf. The world of golf's a better place now. We've discussed that. Got to move on to our caddy stories of the week. So that's coming up now. Caddy stories, boys. What you got for us?
This was probably about two weeks ago. Somewhere around there. And we had the Cobra Puma tournament. We had these guys from...
You mean Puma?
Puma.
Is it Puma?
So we call it Puma when I'm from.
No, it's Puma.
Puma. Yeah, Puma. Cobra right. Puma, they host a tournament. Those who are Cobra people or whatever, they're club pros, are invited to this tournament. And at Pebble Beach, and they bring their members. And we had a very interesting group from, it was called Bridgewater Golf Club.
Hmm.
From Indiana.
Indiana.
Yeah. Really
sounds,
nice sounds guys.
Welsh. Sounds Welsh, though.
Bridgewater. Yeah. Sounds elegant.
And I saw one of, it was the two brothers, really nice guys. They were just there to have fun. The one brother kind of had this, like, it was the pro, the two brothers, and their attorney, who was like their business partner also. And the one brother was pretty normal. They're both pretty normal guys. And then the one brother was like the alcoholic type, the guy who doesn't really say a lot.
Yeah, just pound,
but is just hammered.
Yep.
And every once in a while, I'd look at him, and he'd just have that, like, 5-mile stare. And he would just be, like, looking out. And so I got to see one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen happen on the golf course, ever. We're on the 7th hole at the Wee course. Everybody's just behind the pond. And the guy with the 5-mile stare, the president, CEO of the company, who's hammered... You know, he mumbles things. You can barely hear what he's saying. And he comes up to my guy, who's pretty much completely sober. You know, he's eating some peanuts. And he takes the butt of his club. I'm talking to my guy. And the other guy with the 5-mile stare comes up and just taps him right in the testicle.
Like, tap him or a little more than
that? No. It was a direct hit.
Like, he swung
direct
the club
hit. No. Not the club. Just the butt of the club.
Yeah, but he...
But, like, he was messing around. Like, this was a good idea in his drunk mind that I'm going to hit Tom right in the dick.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
So he hits Tom right in the testicle. And Tom... It took about 1.5 seconds and Tom starts puking.
You hit him that hard?
I don't know. It didn't seem like that was that crazy to me, but it was. And so half the group's on the other side of the fairway, and my guy Tom, he's like, and I'm just like, oh my God, like this is happening right now. We didn't know if Tom was having a heart attack, but he started puking on the ground. He's rolling around, making the most god-awful noises. And everybody's like, oh my God, is Tom having a heart attack? Like, what's going on? And the drunk brother is just like, what did I do? And
sorry, bro.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
I'm so sorry. It turned into this whole thing, and I'm just like, wow, that was absolutely ridiculous.
That's crazy.
You had to be there. I mean, I'm sure you can imagine, but he was literally puking up the peanuts that he had in his mouth.
Wow.
Like, making the most barbaric noises.
That's a hell of a testicle shot.
Crawling around on the ground.
Well, we've all been near the flick.
Oh, God.
That you could feel in your stomach. It's delayed reaction. Oh.
Ugh. So was he pissed off as his brother after that?
I think he was a little upset, but not nearly as upset as you would imagine. And then Tom actually started playing better after that. And then joke like, hey, how about I, you know.
You just needed a kick in the nuts, Tom.
You know, butt NG in the gonads every now and again when you're, you know, sucking it up.
Sometimes you just need a kick in the nuts.
Turn your game around.
Zabu had a guy who had about too much to drink the other day.
Oh, God. That was classic. This guy, and he was out of his league. He was betting money. Like, these guys like to gamble. Like, you know, $100 Nassau here, $100 bet there. But by the time we were finished, it was up to like $4,000 or $5,000. And not only was he was a little out of his element. I could tell, like, if he loses this money, there's probably going to be an issue with the wife or something. Like, he was not in his element there. Betting this kind of money, and on top of this, he's dead drunk. And we finished the 15th hole, and I'm going out to four caddy in front, and I'm trying to give him the line off the tee, and he's just looking at me dead drunk, and he's trying to understand what I'm saying, but he's absolutely cross-eyed. He's looking at me cross-eyed. I'm like, yeah, just hit it over my head, and I can tell he's trying to hear what I'm saying, but it's not really getting through to him. I'm like, I just pat him on the shoulder. I'm like, hit it over where I'm standing, please.
Did he win?
The same.
He ended up pushing the bet. He pressed it all on the last hole. Last hole was worth, I think the last hole, it was like 2,000 at that point, but the last hole was worth 5,000. So it was like $5,000 hole, and they ended up pushing. Thank God. I mean, he was in big trouble.
His name was Nav Indian, or half Indian.
Naveen, yeah.
So half of the boys were from Georgia, Augusta. And another half were from Cincinnati.
And he was part of the Cincinnati clan. And he, you know, a little winter rust. He did not play his best golf in 2 days.
We had a good chat about Indian food. It's one of the things I really miss about back home. Because we have an Indian takeaway, a restaurant in every single town, village, city in the UK.
Oh, really? That's a thing? Like, they're big into Indian food?
Well, India was part of the British Empire.
Gotcha. Oh, so that makes sense.
There's a huge influx of immigrants from probably after the Second World War.
Who doesn't love a good curry?
Proper Indian food.
Well, more British Indian because, you know, a lot of it's got cream in it.
Gotcha. Uh-huh. Oh, that's what you like, right? It's got to have cream.
The cat likes the cream. I would always start off with poppadoms with a mango chutney. Those are like frisbees. Deep fried little kind of wafery frisbees.
Yeah.
Mango chutney, chicken pakora. Then I would go for a chicken tikka masala, pilau rice, and what they call a Peshwari naan, which has honey.
And I heard you talking to Naveen about it. You seem pretty into it. That's your kind of your jam. Yeah.
That was it. Got me through a few holes because the main guy in the group was actually called Ryan McCardle.
Remember that McCardle. Name?
This is shocking. Good dude. Friend of a friend, Mike Hackett out in Phoenix, who I saw when I was at the Waste Management, he'd put us in contact. And we meet the boys. First day was okay. We were off carts.
We were super easy.
We're driving the buggies, so it was nice and easy. Following day, we're going 36. Actually, myself and Zabo were the only guys with the backbone to go twice. But it was a... McArdle texted me on the Wednesday night and he said, how do we find out about a Frostily?
Oh, yeah, that is funny.
I just replied and said, laughing.
Yeah.
We don't get frost here.
Yeah, never happens.
Not a proper frost in the big D.
Yeah.
Like it's so cold in the D.
Yeah, what's a frost like in the D if you were hitting balls in the green?
Yeah, it's like cement.
It's like cement. That's what I'm thinking.
And it kills the grass if you're walking on it.
So we turn up for a 10 past 7 tee off time and they say there's a 20 minute delay.
Yeah.
Well, number one, it's not a delay. That's like a fart in the wind.
Yeah.
20 minutes. So next thing you know, people not doing their jobs as always. We get shipped off to the second green, second tee, which made no sort of sense whatsoever. But, oh, you carrying bags? What are you doing? And straight away, there was no organization. I said, I'll just carry that one. We changed one. We changed McArdle's. But they just start loading them up. Oh, is that okay? And they're bringing extra clothing.
Oh, God. Yeah, I somewhat forgot about this, but man, now it's coming back to me. My God, this was crazy.
Yeah,
and it gets crazier. Listen to this.
Well, they're wearing what I can only describe jackets that you know you would make sleeping bags out of if you were going to Everest base camp.
Sure.
You know, this stuff is keeping them warm. So they're all wearing hats and you can see they've got two or three layers on and they're throwing more in because it's Baltic, it's freezing.
Yes.
Sure.
We're all, you know, the boys are all looking for gloves but I look at the first green and I can see the sun. It's covered
in
sunshine.
As it gets a little higher, it's going to be warm. We're going to be sweating.
So I'm going. Yeah. So I leave my jacket behind because I'm going. I don't mind being cold for 10 minutes because I know I'm going to be roasting for 4.5. So what happens? We get to the second hole. We get to the third. They just start peeling off layers like an onion.
Hat comes off. Jacket comes off. Here comes the vest off. You got extra pair of socks.
We're running out of space in the bag. There's no space.
Literally, no space in any of the bags. And then...
Well, we get halfway. We're actually cruising, great time. We get up to 12. And
12. I'll never forget this.
Never forget this.
I've never seen this before in my life. This almost tops your puking, getting kicked in the nuts story.
You could have caddy dementia, and you'll still remember this. Because McArdle sits down on the bench.
Takes off his shoes. Takes off his pants.
Trousers come off.
What does he have on?
He's got long johns. Now they're brown in color. Like it looks as if he was something from a western. You know when the cowboy had been out in the desert for 3 weeks, and then he's going to go to the whorehouse for a bath.
Long johns on. We're not going skiing, McArdle. I mean, like, come on.
Throw them in the bin.
Seriously.
I'm not carrying those things. And he rolls them up, tightly.
Unbelievable.
Puts them in the bag. I'm just going, this is unbelievable. Absolutely. I was raging. I said, you're going to be the bell end of the week.
Yeah. You have to win it for that. Just that alone. Long johns. Long johns that you took off on the bench in front of us. Like there's a bathroom right around the corner. Discreetly. Put them in your pocket.
You probably could have wrung them out a little bit. They're probably a little damp.
Well, you got to think that moisture in the crotch was at least another half pound.
Sure.
By this point, I'm looking at going, these bags have picked up 6 pounds a piece.
Yes.
And shoulders are killing me. We're not even finished. We get to the 13th tee, and I said, like, lads, because of course I'm complaining about it. Part of it's fun. Part of it is trying to make a point.
We're making a joke, but at the same time, but come on, be serious.
And I says, boys, I'm carrying two speakers, music speakers. I haven't heard a tune yet. I haven't heard any music yet, and I'm carrying one in each bag.
Yeah.
So music comes on, at least allowed me to pick the
which was the only slightly better than the poor music choices from the day before at the first course we started at. You should have heard the first course.
Gordon likes some strange music. Music was weird.
The music these guys were playing, like they had the playlist from like the worst rap artists from the 1990s. It was awful. And then Getting Jiggy With It came on. I'm like,
oh, Will Smith.
Come on, bro.
I heard
Getting
all
Jiggy With It on the golf course. Come on.
Yeah. 18, all 18 Will Smith.
There's a time and a place for that. It's not
no, out
here.
Double record greatest hits.
I was playing Humphreys McGee.
Nice.
Damn right.
Humphreys McGee. No.
No,
I was playing.
I was playing Eurotrash.
I had to play them. We were playing Avicii. So we have a slight, respite with the music. Get up to 15. It's all downhill after that.
Literally.
I'm just hoping, how are we going to work this one out to get lunch? Because it's important after you've been humping this guy's luggage and suitcase around with you.
Yeah.
That you got to think, okay, well, how long we got before our tee off time? You want to get something to eat, but we still have to play the first. That's weighing in my mind. Get to 18 and I'm taking a video of him to post on Instagram and just be like, look at this dickhead. He really is. He's the bell end of the week and he's flipping me off.
True.
We get to his second shot and I says, hit the 4-iron, keep it under the tree. He goes, I can't hit a 4-iron. I just put it in the bag because it looks good. And I was going, I says, why am I carrying it then?
Double.
You don't hit it.
Yeah. Right.
Nothing drives me more nuts
than that. And that happens many times a year. So more often than not, it happens with ladies.
I can't hit that club.
Yeah. I never hit that one. Well, why am I carrying it if you don't hit it? There's no reason for me to carry that weight if you're not going to hit that club. Mm-hmm. So I have a rule. If I'm carrying your bag, you hit every club in the bag.
Yeah. Well, it's if you've got time and there's organization in the first tee, which is not our job, those conversations should be had.
Yeah, like,
do you use all these clubs? Yeah. Do I know? But between, they were like Russian dolls, weren't they? Take peeling off layer after layer. You know those Russian dolls that you open up?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I know your father-in-law, Jim Atwell, had emailed and said that he thinks Phil Mickelson's the bell end of the week. But that's, I got to be honest.
Phil gets like the annual award. I mean, he's got to have an award bigger than bell
end. He's the perpetual bell end of the week now.
I got to give it to McArdle.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Nice lad, decent
He's
lad.
He's super good dude. I mean, I'd caddy for him any day of the week, but man.
If anyone
The Long Johns.
That was the killer.
Yeah.
That was absolute killer. But if anyone's ever in Georgia, in Augusta, Georgia, so it's just about, I think it's a mile from the actual golf course.
Yeah.
He owns a bar called the Indian Queen.
The Indian Queen.
Uh-huh. It's like a wooden shack.
Sounds like a nice place.
It's actually, yeah, well, it looks really good.
Awesome.
And he invited us out. Anytime we're ever out, we can go. And I tell you, I'll never pay for a drink in that place if I do go.
You should. Never.
After
carrying his Long Johns. Look, I carried your Long Johns, bro.
But anything else, boys? What else has been on in the world of caddies?
Yeah, gosh, I caddied for... We did another Pro-Am event this past week, and it was... It just all came together. I didn't know these people, and I get kind of put up there last minute, and... It was three Asian guys and this, this young white guy who's, you know, my age, I guess, in his mid-30s or something. And it turns out this guy is a golf instructor in Southern California and real nice guy, good player. But we had Jason, John, and Jay. And these were all the Asian guys.
Not the real names.
Not the real names.
Chosen.
And so, gosh, what was it? So, once we got the ball rolling with these guys, like, I was actually starting to have a lot of fun with them. And they took really great care of us. The reason why I bring it up is because I'm having an issue recently with the people with the using the line on the ball.
Okay. Doesn't really work that well.
Because so my guy, James, Jason, Jay, and James. Yeah. So James goes. You know, he's covered the ball. Like, I'm trying to read the putt. He's totally in the way, and all he's saying is he's trying to get the line on the ball right, and then he gets up. He goes uphill, downhill, left, right, up here, over here. And then he starts pointing at spots on the green. Over this one. And I'm just like, it was like that every single thing. And then I would tell him, you know, if I moved the line, then it was my fault, but the line wasn't correct in the first place. And so it's like, I just started agreeing with him. And I just said, you know what? Yeah.
Those lines are so tough to get 100% correct. I mean, you can get a ballpark, but there's minor tweaks you have to make when you put those lines down. And a lot of times you put the line down and the ball shifts a little bit when you put it down. It's like, use it as an approximation. But yeah, I hear you. Those drive me nuts.
Don't use them at all.
Nuts.
That's absurd.
But nuts. People get super into the line on the ball.
Well, it's because they watch golf in the weekends.
And,
It's true.
You know, it's just, it's like, it hurts to not tell you, like, this isn't the right line, but, like, then it's my fault if it's wrong, but it's like, either I have to do it or I have to tell you it's wrong. and then you have to adjust it again. It takes all this time, and it's like, if it's close enough, I just agree and say yes.
Yeah.
Just tell them exactly what they want to hear, yeah, because that's just the easiest thing to do.
I hear you.
Myself and Zabo had another loop, which we'll discuss in a future episode, but another pro-am.
Also a pro-am.
Those pro-ams, but it actually inspired me to start a TikTok account. So if actually anyone's listening and you don't already follow on any of the social media, Twitter, Facebook, what's the other one, Instagram, and TikTok now. Just look for Glorified Donkey.
Glorified Donkey TikTok.
Because this is going to be 30-second therapy for myself. And if you boys want to get involved.
Oh, I do. I got some ideas, too. I got some good ideas.
How about this? For 4 days, so 3.5 days, I'm telling this guy, ball outside the hole, 2 balls left, 1 ball right. And finally, with like 6 holes to go of day 4. Was it day 4? Did we have them for 5?
Yeah, can't remember. It was too many, but I think it was 4.
And he goes, a golf ball? And I was like, no. I'm like, a beach ball?
What do you think we've been talking about for 4 days?
3.5 days. Yeah. Come on.
Bro. Come on, get with the program.
We're 66 holes in here, and you're asking me what a golf ball?
Can we go over the measurements again?
Do you know, I've worked every day since that tournament, and that... Uh-huh. I did not have a lot of fun in that tournament, but since then, caddying has been so much fun for me. I just had so much fun with people I caddy for, because I realized that was the lowest I could ever get with.
That was the lowest low. That was the all-time low.
Because it really was, because that was like the high point. I mean, it was not very... I was just,
Stop it. Yeah,
we'll have to talk about it later, but I've had so much fun. Today, like, even when I have kind of... I had grinders today. And they made so many birdies and made so many putts, but they were grinding me on everything. And like, it was a father-son tournament. So I was like, you know, it's right here, breaks a little downhill, comes back at the end, and his dad gets in there, and his dad's like, yeah, I like that. I'm like, bro, I don't care if you like that. And he's like, no, I see a little more here. I was like, I appreciate that. I don't really care what you're seeing. This is what it does. Because some of them out there, when you know them, they're very well defined. It's like, I appreciate that's what you think it does, but that's not what it does. This is what it does. Like, what you're seeing is wrong. I've seen this 1,000 times.
At least.
How many times at have least. You been here?
Yeah.
Well, I played here yesterday. How many times before that? That was my first round. Okay. I've seen this one 1,000 times.
Yeah.
I think I know what it does. I appreciate that this is what you like. But this is what it does.
That's true, man.
It's just, it's fun. Caddying has become fun again. It really has. After that low point,
you know what?
With that tournament, my God, it was a low point.
That's funny.
Yeah.
What, Brandon? Right? Yeah. Imagine you were Asian.
Sure.
And you just landed in the Big D. When we see the Big D, folks, and if you haven't listened before, where's the
Detroit?
Big D?
Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit. That's where Man Bun's from.
Right.
So Brandon
you,
is
let's
from.
Say let's say you land
that's where Brandon's from
an Asian immigrant into Big D, and you know whatever your name is, what would you choose for your name though, like your American name? Because we meet a lot of Bobs,
like maybe Joel. Jim.
Yeah. Jim,
I could bet you as a Jim or Jim. George. Yeah,
Jim.
George.
I like Ron. I'd go with Ron.
Ronnie. <yes.
laughs> Ronnie. No, that's for me. That was if I chose my name. No,
I think name Brandon Ronnie. Would look good as a Ron. Ron Jordan. But they, Jordan's your name.
They always like, Jordan. They do like short names, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They do like the short names.
One syllable.
Another one for you, lads. I called. So coming up in the next few weeks, next episode is actually going to be a trip to Cal Club up in San Francisco. And I'm going to have a couple of Irish caddies because it's going to be very close to St. Patrick's Day.
Perfect.
So the wife said that's not a good time to do it.
Especially with Irish caddies.
So Shane and Paddy the Caddy. Now, I actually bumped into Shane.
Shane, what's the other guy's name?
Paddy.
Paddy the Caddy?
Paddy the Caddy.
There's another Paddy. We have a Paddy the Caddy here.
Well, this one's a proper Paddy. I mean, like, he's actually...
From the old land, yeah.
His accent is gone, in my opinion. He's sold out like Graham McDowell, but he's from Northern Ireland. Uh-huh. And Shane's from Southern Ireland. Darren Kirk.
Kirk.
Right. And I met Shane out at the waste management. He couldn't remember. How about this? I'd never met Shane before. I'd spoken to him and I knew Paddy, but it was only, I took a photo of this guy. He walks up and goes, oh, Gordon, yeah, there's a caddy. So I take a photo of us and I send it to the mutual friend, Wallace. And it was only the following week when Wallace showed Shane the photo that Shane remembered it. He had no recollection. He was not there for the golf. Okay.
They're usually not.
Now, we are dealing with caddies here, so it's 99%
catch them early.
Gonna happen. So we're going to try and catch them early. And then we're also going to record an episode of Rich Beam.
Oh,
and
yeah.
For those in the UK, Rich Beam, you'll know that he works with Sky Sports. So I called him a couple of days ago to organise a time for when we could interview him for the podcast. And he says, oh, wait a minute. And he hands the phone off. And this guy starts talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Scottish accent.
Uh-oh.
I can never not know who the name is, the voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Andrew Coulthart, who he works with at Sky Sports.
Who used to caddy for.
I used to caddy for.
Wow.
On tour. And we had a wonderful chat for 15, 20 minutes. And, you know, he just talked about, because he kind of sacked me for, you know, a dubious.
That's what they do. They start playing bad and sack you for no reason. Yeah.
Well, there was definitely a reason. I've never denied that. But I always enjoyed my time with him. He was a really good laugh. And now he works with Sky Sports. So we've got his number now. And he said he would come on the podcast as well at some point. So
oh, perfect.
He played in the Ryder Cup. He won a couple of times in Europe. And now he works in television. So they're over at the Arnold Palmer this week. But it was a really kind of a shock. I was not expecting it.
That's cool.
Because normally what would happen is Rich Beam goes to the tournaments over here and then he relays back or he does the commentary from a camera, a van.
Say, yeah.
And then Coulthart will be in the studio, but obviously this week.
They're both there.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That was fantastic. What do we have here? We got a couple of questions, actually, boys. A couple of questions. A guy called Michael Barr, Melbourne, Australia. And he sent me an email about Patrick Reed.
Nice. I love a good Patrick Reed email.
Yeah, he just says, you know, I love the podcast. He's down under. And he says, every so often you mention Patrick Reed.
Oh, don't tell me he's a fan.
Not always in a complimentary manner. Uh-oh. Thought I'd send you a couple of photos of a piece of Reed memorabilia. I picked it up when I was a volunteer at the 2019 President's Cup. I had it framed and planned to donate it to one of my charities so they could auction it off at a fundraiser. So it's actually a photo, which you'll be able to see. Patrick Reed's
sport
blazer or a sport coat
a sport coat.
Oh, you like the sport coat. And I can't imagine if you auctioned that off, you get much money.
Wait, so how did he come into possession of this?
He was a volunteer. Now.
So Reed just...
Maybe he just
forgot it.
Maybe he stole it.
Yeah.
I mean, you put too much money into that auction. You sound like a real creep.
Yeah. What would you pay for Patrick Reed? I never got that. I never.
$1,200 going once. $2,000.
I want something that was hung on Patrick Reed's body. No, you couldn't pay me to take it. How much would you pay me to throw it out?
I can't imagine you getting much more than $50.
For Patrick Reed,
and
is he? What did he have?
What
a question?
What size is it?
Did he have a question? What was the question?
There's plenty of girth. No, it wasn't even a question.
I got that 50 wide.
you want to know how much you're going to get for that? Not much.
Yeah, there's a lot of girth there. I'll give you that because somebody mentioned he's put on the beef again.
Has he?
He went through. Haven't seen much of him. He's not doing much in the golf world either.
Yeah, he'll be cheating soon when in tournaments.
I got a fabulous message from Jeremy Cruiser, and he sent a picture of his golf bag, and it has a bunch of iron covers on them, right?
Iron covers.
They're all colourful, and they say love on them, but in the O, it has the number of the club.
There's nothing to love about iron covers.
There's some pink and orange and blue. Well, I quite like them. So basically what happened is, we're golfing at Monarch Bay Golf Club in San Leandro, and we didn't want to do a traditional money game. So we bet each other, loser has to wear iron covers of the winner's choice at the next tournament for our club. I get absolutely obliterated. We're sitting at the bar, and he's Googling iron covers, finds these on Etsy, and has them shipped from Hong Kong.
That's so awesome. That is so awesome. Okay, iron covers are cool again if you do that.
Yeah, and then he says, what are the worst covers y'all have seen? Hey, y'all. And he says, and have y'all had any issues with players and their iron covers?
I mean, what do you consider issues?
I would say probably the issue being that they're so anal about always having it. Oh, can you make sure you put the cover on, please?
Yeah, I've got some of that. Yeah,
put the cover back on.
I had a guy with a Bettinardi putter 2 weeks ago. I says, do you mind about the head cover? He went, no, leave it.
Really?
This thing's getting dinged around.
I do that to people.
Putters are different. Putters are different.
Putters, I always leave the cover. I never even ask. I always leave the cover on. I never ask to take the
cover. Oh, he puts it in and didn't put the cover on. Yeah. And I said, you don't mind? He goes, no, I couldn't care less.
If it's a new putter, keep the head cover.
And I always like people with Scotties that don't have covers, like good Scotties that look like they're in reasonable shape. I assume that they're dropped their cover or something. I'm like, you don't have a cover for this? Because it should have a cover on it.
That'd be a great idea for the listeners to send in any stories you have where covers got in the way. Maybe you had a caddy who didn't put the cover on. I know one story that somebody told me. It's an absolute gem. And I'll get the story from him at some point. But he collected Scotty Cameron putters and the caddy refused to put the head cover on. And then when the boy, it ruined them for him.
Dude. So, and some of those collectors of the Scotties, like the Circle T's, some of those are...
That's what it was. 10, I think 15, it was a Circle T.
Some of those Circle T's are, you know, $25,000, $40,000 putters. We caddied... Were you in that group? No. Actually, this is another... I caddied for this guy a couple of weeks ago, and that's what he did. That was his business, is selling Circle T's on the website. And he was a long hitter, running the 17th hole of the week course. It's 320 up the hill. They're playing the back tees. And he's like, what do you think? Can I drive it? I was like, you probably put it in the greenside bunker. You swing hard, you probably get there. I said, I've only seen one person drive it ever. And that was in the TaylorMade years ago. Tony Finau, when he was a young kid, drove the green. That's the only person I've ever seen drive the green. This kid probably had it. So he took it back in extra gear. Group was on the green, absolutely smoked it. As soon as he hit it, I go, 4 on the green! As loud as I could. That thing flew onto the green 10 feet from the hole. Landed soft. 17 green up the hill, 320 carry. Crazy. But I digress. That was a guy who also sells Circle T putters, which are crazy expensive. Expensive.
Well, I think it was one of those. So
he had some on his website, because I looked at his website. He had some that were $35,000.
Crazy. Well, if you have any questions, comments, please send them in on social media or email podcast@glorifieddonkey.com. So we gave the bell end of the week. Ryan McArdle, he wins over everybody, correct?
Yeah. Sorry, Jim, but yeah, Phil doesn't get it this week. Yeah, Ryan's got to get it. Long John's.
Long John, Ryan,
you get it.
Unbelievable. It probably
really is.
I won't sleep well. I haven't slept well since.
Yeah. I kind of had nightmares about it too.
Traumatic. Boys, anything else you want to add? Any notable mentions? You want to say hello to anyone? I'd like to say hello to Brandon's... brother-in-law, Logan. Does he live in the Big D?
He's in the Big D. Yeah. I want to give a honorable mention to a guy I caddied for a few weeks ago by the name of Shepherd Lewis.
Shepherd Lewis.
From Richmond, Virginia. Yep. These guys were out... The one guy's grandpa bought the whole trip basically, and he was an older guy, so grandpa wasn't coming along, and so these three guys that were probably my age in their early 30s or something, they wound up bringing Shep, which was their high school teacher. You know, it wasn't like that much older than maybe 8-10 years older than them, they had a great time. I was with them for 3 days.
Nice.
Yeah, we had a great time.
You want to say hello to Pete?
Who? Oh, Pete. Pete from 506 Salon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks for cutting off all my hair, Pete.
he looks good, Pete. I think I'm going to shout out Pete, too. He did a great job.
I think it looks way better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zabo, thank you.
Zabo, anyone want to say hello to?
I'm going to shout out Patrick Chu. He'll be out in a few months with the whole team that you caddied for last year. You know, Hoon and Peter and company. So they're going to be out in a few months. I know he listens to the podcast, so I'll shout him out. And also, as I usually do, you shout out your brother-in-law. I got to shout out my in-laws. They were actually in town again, and they watched my daughter for the night. My wife and I stayed at Pebble Beach for a night. It was nice.
Nice.
Well, I'm just going to say hello to one individual called Greg Hausfeld. That was one of my boys from, he's from Cincinnati. Awful golf, but.
He was one of in that group, yeah.
He had a great personality and sense of humor, and he could laugh at everything. A
lot of good dudes in that group, David and Steven, and yeah, all those guys.
So, yeah, listen, folks, boys, thanks very much for your time.
Enjoyed it.
I know it's getting late, so you'll have to get back and get your beauty sleep, but thank you again. Next episode, Irish boys, hopefully, fingers crossed. And after that, we're going to get some really fun stuff coming up. So please get out there, rate it, review it, share it. Keep this thing growing. It's grown a lot since the Waste Management, actually.
Keep it going. Yeah, that's great.
We're on a roll. So many thanks for your time. Hope you enjoyed it. Until then, next time, enjoy your golf. But more importantly, keep it humble.